Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sucharita here on Sunday, the 22nd of May, 2016. Welcome to everyone who's joining for the first time, and those of you who have been avid followers of this weekly program that taps into the energies or the time shaktis, as we call them in Sanskrit, and Dr. Ply refers to them as being power times throughout the days, throughout the weeks, throughout the months, throughout the years that we've been coming together and sharing about how to get the most out of every day, every moment of every day. And if you can't hang in, get into that small, minute segment of time, then it's every hour. Or if you can't get into that, maybe every day, and then every week, and then every month. So here in Sundays with Sucharita, we follow the time shaktis as best as we can, and we try to tap into the energies of all the planets and why they're so important, but mainly the sun. The sun moves into a new zodiac sign every month, and it tells us what our soul is maybe going to ask us to focus on. And then we have our Vedic astrologer, Radha, who shares every month. She did last weekend, I believe it was, yeah, is when the sun transited into Taurus. And so she did a great talk, and we had a great discussion here. And then there's a posting on the Sundays with Sucharita blog of what to tap into, what kind of things that we should do, what kinds of things that we should focus on. And then also there's other planetary planets impacting our lives. And so what does that mean in a practical sense? And so we have a special guest today, Vali, who is a Vedic astrologer as well. And I'll introduce you, Vali, a little bit after the meditation. But Vali has offered to come. Or actually, I invited her. And then she said, yes, of course, I would love to come and talk about what the importance of getting an astrology report, getting a reading, some sort of template for you to understand how the planets are impacting you. Maybe find out what the good planets are, find out what the not so good planets are, how they're arranged in your chart, and then how to navigate as planets transit and as we go through life in our daily activities and get the most out of it. So we're moving more with grace and ease and more naturally, as opposed to swimming upstream or drowning in some cases. And then we go, someone sends us one of those saver things, the water saver things, and you grab on and get pulled out. So Vali is going to be sharing about the importance of having a Vedic astrology reading, and then also giving some tips and practical tools, maybe mantra practices, maybe rituals, and then we'll have the open discussion, so you're welcome to ask her questions as well. It'll be lively. So last week, oh my goodness, was that intense for some of us, maybe blissful for others, maybe a combination of blissful and intense for yet some others. And it was a time where we could really feel the energy of enlightenment. And we had a full moon happening. It was on Saturday, just yesterday. And it was also, it was a birthstar of Lord Muruga, and it was also the celebration of Buddha. So it's called Buddha Purnima. And we all know they're both about enlightenment. And then prior to that was Narasimha Jayanti, which is Narasimha's birthday as well. And he destroys everything that's in our path of enjoying a good life and also a path of enlightenment. And prior to that was Guru Pradosham. So Guru Pradosham, as we know, is a window of time where we can destroy our negative karmas and really easily. And just tapping in and doing, paying attention to Pradosham rituals, which we've talked about, we'll continue to talk about that as we go along. And this in particular was a Guru one. So Guru is Sanskrit for Jupiter. And we all know that Jupiter is the planet that gives fortune, luck, and grace. And Wally will share a little bit more about that maybe too as well. But so we were, this whole week has been all about, you know, looking at our lives and seeing from the inside what we want to create, clearing out, bringing lots of light into us so we can see, and dispelling the darkness, and then focusing on what it is that we want to manifest. And someone wrote to me and said, you know, I've been in denial about my finances. And I said, oh, interesting, because the sun is transiting Taurus. And so Taurus is the second sign of the natural zodiac. And it's, as we share, as Radha shared with us last week, that we're going to be looking at our finances, looking at how we can create maybe business opportunities, promote ourselves, get involved in projects where we are being seen by others and we are networking. You know, we can present ourselves in a way that our bosses or our coworkers haven't seen us in our best light, or they know our talents are there, but we've been hiding them from them. So this will give us all opportunities. It will open doors for us to maybe have a side business, or maybe to promote ourselves and get a promotion at our workplace readily and easily. If we are tapping into the energy of that month and we are doing what we can to move towards that, then the doors will open. The doors are already open. We'll just be able to walk through them. So it's been an incredible journey this month of May, and we're coming into the third week, rounding out the fourth, or we've finished the third week, we're coming into the fourth week, and we even have a little bit more. So this month of May is really all about enjoying, you know, grounding the energy from last month, where we were just, you know, hit the ground running with Aries energy, we're on fire, and we just want to go forward. Spring is in the air. And now we want to bring all that energy within, inside of us, and say, what do we really, how do we want to ground this energy? What do we want to bring to the earth plane? What do we want to manifest? So having said that, we'll get into a little bit of a meditation, and we will explore more about what it is to connect with Ganesha, because in this coming week we have a fourth waning moon, and it's called Chaturthi, and it is a really great time to tap into Ganesha's energy, to ask him, what does it feel like on the inside of me? So as the Kundalini is moving, as that spiritual energy is moving through us, it's going to give us clues as to what it is that we're in denial about, what it is that we are denying ourselves from experiencing in our lives, maybe because of past karmas, maybe because of cultural or spiritual, economic influences, educational influences, family influences. So all that will be dispelled. It will be shaken up a bit. So we've had an intense week in the past, and this is a good week to just kind of integrate all that energy. And it's, we're on a waning, or yes, on a waning cycle, meaning it's coming from a full moon and then it's getting smaller in the sky. So our mind is going to go more in internally, naturally. So that is something that we want to tap into the energy of Ganesha. We've got a couple days before that, Mulastar is also related to Ganesha's energy. And then we're going to round out the week, and we'll join each other again on a eighth waning moon, which is for Kalabhairava. So we're just really going to focus mainly today on tapping into the energy of Ganesha. We've got Mercury going direct in Aries, which is nice. So things are going to go forward. Our communication is going to be a little bit spicy, so watch out for that. Maybe Bali will give us some insights on that as well. So if we want, if we have to be careful about how that Mars energy is going to show up in our lives, and we can't take back words, it's a good opportunity for us to go more internally, because naturally we will want to do that anyway. So we'll be able to zip, you know, our lips really quick and easy. and naturally. But then what do you do with all that excess energy? So we're going to turn it internally and inwardly, and then we are going to really focus on how to keep moving this energy that Ganesha, once we connect with Ganesha, he will help us to move it really quickly. And then he's the guardian angel that's representing 2016 all over the map. And so we want to experience that within us, all over our bodies, all over our subtle bodies, our physical bodies, and really connect with this divine archetype. Maybe we'll see him in as an elephant-headed being with a pot belly and his mouse or his rat. Maybe we'll have a flash. Maybe we'll have some light that he also represents Ganesha moving through us. Maybe we'll feel bliss. Maybe we'll feel intense pain released from us. Maybe we'll feel this surge of energy going up our spine and then opening up all the chakras and making them to spin in the proper direction, and then lighting up our brain. Because when we are wired for prosperity and success, then Ganesha is just going to say, oh, now that you're wired, now that you're tuned in, here's where you go. And you just will experience success, or you'll get money, whatever success represents to you. Maybe good health, fabulous relationships. Fabulous relationships, there's on the 26th, we'll talk about it again after during the open discussion. But on the 26th, there's going to be a very special ritual or service that is offered through astroved.com, and it is about relationships. And Dr. Pillai is always in tune with what we need to do, not just with those of us who are studying with him, or we happen to, come across his teachings. It's for the whole world. So he brings out these services right at the exact time that we need it, and where we need to build strong relationships within ourselves, our relationship with our own self. So we have great talk, supportive talk to our inner self, and then also with one another. So our family members, our significant others, our friends, our co-workers, our people that we surround ourselves in our social circle and in our communities and in the world. We need the world leaders to have good relationships with one another. So that's something that we can all participate in. It doesn't happen very often, but somehow Dr. Pillai is tuned in and said, this is the time. So whenever he says, this is the time, jump in there, because that is the most potent energy that will shift your perspective or your karmas or whatever is happening with relationships in your life. If you want to be in a relationship, this is a great opportunity for you to pray during that time and say, I want to be blessed with a beautiful divine relationship. So, or if you want to heal your relationships, and not heal them that like you're going to do anything, you just do this, and then the divine blessings that come your way, you'll start to say, oh my God, people are coming out of the woodwork that are coming and saying, hey, how are you doing? And the relationship gets healed. And you just move on. So that's something that Ganesha will help us to experience success in as well. For those of you who need to go, thanks for joining, and you're welcome to listen to the rest of the recording that will be posted to the blog shortly after the call, and then we'll see you next time. Have a fabulous week ahead. Those of you who are going to join the lively discussion with our guest speaker, Vali, who is a Vedic astrologer, I just want to share a few words. A few words. My goodness, she is a powerhouse, this woman. She's been studying with Dr. Pillai for over 15 years. She first got into Vedic astrology after attending a class that Dr. Pillai gave at another long-term student, Mina, her house in New Jersey, and it was on Vedic astrology, and this was a while back, and Dr. Pillai suggested that we really get to know about Vedic astrology. It's a very, very important tool to have to navigate in life, and not only just navigate in, like, where's how to get around a roadblock or through a situation. It's to get deeper insight into what drives us, what makes us to do the things we do. So a great Vedic astrologer will give you insights because they can see, they're connected. So Vali took a bunch of teleconference courses with a very well-renowned, respected Vedic astrologer, Ernst Wilhelm. He's great. I've watched several of his YouTubes over the years, and I appreciate his guidance and insights as well. So Babaji had given Vali the blessings and grace to give astrological support to several of the high-end programs over the years that he offers through Pillai Center and AstroVeg. She's also been doing live astrology consultations through AstroVeg for many, many years. I've had astrology consultations with Vali, as I've mentioned over the years as well. And she gives great insights, and she's so fun and lively and can relate to everything that we all go through in life, and not only our daily practical life, but the spiritual path as well. So she's got a great sense of humor, and she helps you to understand, okay, this too shall pass. Let's look into how we can navigate accordingly. So then she taught a short astrology course in New York City, and she was also the manager of the AstroVed University of Vedic Sciences and taught many of the classes for the certificate program that graduated students, and so that they were qualified to do readings. And I'm not sure, but I think that Radha, our Vedic astrologer, was also involved with that, or maybe was even a student of Vali. We'll find out. So Vali lived in worked with Dr. Pillai in his guest house in India and in California, and at various times she's participated in working with AstroVed and improving all the programs there, and working with the community there, the staff and everyone, for short stints, giving them guidance and advice. And also learning from them as well. Dr. Pillai has a great staff of Vedic astrologers. And so I'm sure that Vali has learned a lot from them as well. So she's now currently in South Africa doing astrology consultations, so you can get one online, and she'll have a great energy and coming through from there. And then she has her further background is she has a master's degree in English, and she's also had a career in IT, including a contract at Bank of America and as a systems analysis in Agoura Hills, California. So not only is she a Vedic astrologer, she's well immersed in everyday life, so she can totally relate to everyone who is going through their lives, having to work and having to take care of family and friends and being on the spiritual path and all kinds of things. So she has had the training in phonemic intelligence, and she also received training in performing fire labs. So again, she's one of the Pillai Center teachers and has a great handle on how to use sounds, mantras, that will, and then how to explain about the fire labs and how the energy of all these rituals and services that maybe you can participate in if you have a reading, and she is going to say, hey, you've got a strong Mars and maybe a weak moon. We have to cool the Mars and pump up the moon. So she can, you know, give you insights and support you in choosing maybe the right fire lab that would be good for you, and then giving you explanations so that you have the knowledge so that you can make an educated decision on how you want to move forward. And she also did the free morning program with planetary pujas. So she knows about the planets. She knows how to make them to be happy and on your side. She did that for 4 years, and I think that was every morning at 6 a.m. My God, I would never do that. You are amazing. So she also did the Ayurved astrology club calls that Dr. Ply had asked her to do, and that went on for a couple of years too, several years maybe. And then her most recent blog post for Astrid was on the chart of Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. And I read it after I saw that volley, and I was so happy. It gave me such great insights to, because as everyone knows, I'm from Canada, or if you don't know, well, I'm from Canada. And although I'm in India now, it was really lovely to read. And so enjoyable in the sense that, oh, that's why he's like the way he is. It makes sense. You know, so astrology really makes sense. And so we'll invite Vali to, I think that's all I need to say about you. I mean, all I need to say about you, it's a lot. And we'll go on and on in the course of this discussion. So let me just open the line. So wishing Vali a warm welcome to Sundays with Sucharita and everybody here who is tuning in. Vali? I think you have to press star 6.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hello. Oh,
thank you so much for that lovely introduction. That was very fun. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. You're amazing.
So, hello to everybody on the line. I'm in South Africa for a while at the moment. And I know you're all having spring up there. She mentioned, spring of Aries and the sun coming in there. But down here, we're actually in the autumn. And it's I'm in the Highveld in South Africa, the highlands. And so it's misty in the morning, and it's getting cooler. And all the trees are losing their leaves, which is really weird to watch happening in May. And even the sky down here is different. The constellations look different. And from here you can see the Southern Cross, which is what the sailors and people use down here to navigate by, because that's the way to find your way to a star. That's a constant location down here. So it's been a little bit topsy-turvy to be here, which is good. Dr. Ply says, change your space, you change your karma. And so coming to a new space, you look at new things, you see things in a new way. And that's all, really good for people that are on a spiritual path to kind of shake that up every now and then. So Sucharita asked me to talk a little bit about the importance of getting an astrology consultation from time to time. An astrology consultation is something that can help you to learn about your own chart. When Dr. Ply gave us that first class back at Mina's house in New Jersey years and years ago, he said to us, start with learning astrology by learning about your own chart, because everyone is interested in themselves. So he said, when you're looking at a book like Beneath a Vedic Sky by William Levesey, or books by James Keller on astrology, when you're looking at any of those books, don't try to read them cover to cover, but look up the things in the book that has to do with your own chart. So if your sun is in Scorpio, don't read about the sun in all 12 zodiac signs. Read about the sun in Scorpio, because that applies to you. So to really use astrology as a way to look deeper into yourself, and sometimes that will validate some things that you've kind of always known about yourself, and other times it may explain why certain things are a problematic area for you. May explain, help you understand some of the karmas you're dealing with a little bit better. He had suggested to us that all the people should learn 5 things about their chart. Everybody should know what is their ascendant or their rising sign. This is the sign that was coming up on the eastern horizon at the moment of your birth. It's sometimes called the lagna. It's sometimes called the ascendant. It's sometimes called the rising sign or the first house, looking at your chart from the ascendant. It took me a long time to understand those all meant the same thing. I kept thinking in books that they were all different, but the same thing. So there's no book that says ascendant equal lagna equal rising plane equal your first house. So I've just saved you like, you know, a whole year trying to figure that out from the books. That sign is important because it's the backdrop for your character and your personality. So each of the signs is a kind of energetic environment. And they all have different qualities and properties and energies. And so to learn a little bit about the sign that is your ascendant and to reflect on that, that it's a very important thing for your character, for your personality, and it may help you to make friends with some of the aspects of your own character, your personality, realize, well, that's just how I am, and that kind of helps you to feel comfortable with yourself sometimes. And he said, everyone should know where is their sun. And in Vedic astrology, we're looking at the sky from a sidereal point of view. And I'm not going to try to explain what that means, but it's a different point of view than the Western astrology, which is using a tropical point of view. So the surprise for some people coming to Vedic astrology is that your sun and some of your planets may be actually be in different signs, because you're looking into the sky from a different point of view. So maybe your whole life you've been told that your sun is in Taurus, and you come to Vedic astrology and you find out your sun is in Gemini. And it can be a little bit disturbing because we sometimes have our identity attached to what we've been told in Western astrology. So I would suggest just try it on like a new dress or a new shirt, and just see how it fits, see how it feels, make friends with it. But the sun is our soul, and so whatever sign the sun is sitting in has a lot to do with our spiritual path, has a lot to do with our sense of soul, our spiritual life, and our sense of self-esteem, our ability for leadership, many other things as well. And sun is, you know, definitely the star of power in our solar system. So it's a very interesting sign to look at what sign it's in, and then to look at what house it's in relative to your ascendant as well. And he suggested that everyone should know where is their moon. And the moon is the planet that rules our mind and our emotions, has a lot to do with our ability to be receptive, our ability to be fluid. So all these things are having to do with the moon. It's a very feminine energy, whereas the sun is a very masculine energy. And he said everyone should know what star their moon is in. That's called your birth star, your nakshatra. Something that Vedic astrology has that the Western astrology does not have is that in addition to the 12 zodiac signs, in the Vedic astrology, there's 27 stars that are considered, that the planets are moving not just through the signs, but also through these stars. And each of these stars has qualities and energies and is a great archetype. And whichever star your moon is in, this is called your birth star. And this is a star that has blessings to give you. It's an archetype that wants to give you gifts. And as you make friends with that archetype, those blessings and empowerments start to flow more into your life, and you can carry the energy of that star into your social circle and into your workplace and into all those places and kind of, you know, represent that energy here on the earth plane, help bring the gifts of that star into the world through you. So that star is very important. And in remedies in India, the priest will say your name, and then he will also say the name of your star to help you to be energetically present during the remedy ceremony that he is performing for you. So the star is an important thing to know. If for some reason you don't know your birth time, then they'll say the phrase Janma Nakshatra, which literally means the star this person was born under. So it's a very nice phrase that they have for the people that don't know their birth star. Then the other thing he said for us to know was to know what was your major and minor planet of influence at the moment. And throughout our lives, different planets become our major planet of influence and different planets become our minor planet of influence. They sort of take turns, and as they are influencing us, they light up the area in the chart where they sit. They light up the signs that they rule in the chart, and those topics become more active in our life, and it becomes easier to manifest things that they're lighting up for us. So if we know what we're running as our major and minor planet of influence at the moment, sometimes it can help us to kind of steer our life in a way that's aligned with what these planets are lighting up for us to work with at the moment. So that helps with the sense of timing, to know those things about what we're dealing with at the moment. So those are five things that Dr. Blair had suggested that we learn about our chart as a place to start. So sometimes in doing a consultation with someone, and if they've never had their chart looked at before, those might be things that I might talk to them about. Or sometimes someone will say, I want a consultation and I just want to know what are my good, neutral, and bad planets. And then we will tailor the consultation in that way. Then other people may come to a consultation with a very specific question. Maybe they're wanting to know if it's a good time to buy a house or to get a particular job. Or maybe they have a decision to make, and what does it look like if I go down this path, and what does it look like if I go down that path? You know, what of these two choices that I have to make do I have more planetary support for? Other times they might call wanting to know timings, like next month I have 3 business meetings I need to do. What are the best days for me to do those business meetings? Or they might call with a question about scheduling a surgery. Or they might have other topics that they're working with. So each of the consultations that I do is actually very different and very much tailored to the person that I'm doing the consultation for. We have really good astrologers in India with AstroVed. They're all very, very qualified. They're all very skilled. I think a value that I bring to the table is that I speak English without an Indian accent, and I have lived in the West, so I understand life in the West for some of our global members a little bit more naturally sometimes than perhaps the Indian astrologers are able to, because they've grown up in a very different culture. And then I can perhaps have more empathy and understanding with trying to explain some things to beginners, because the Indian astrologers have grown up with this, and it's hard for them to understand how much is new to us, how much we don't know. And whereas for me, I've had to learn all of it from scratch, so I have an understanding of the kinds of questions maybe a new person might ask. So those are, you know, some of the reasons I think I'm bringing some value to AstroVed by being a Westerner who's been trained in the Vedic astrology. Hopefully someday we'll have more Westerners also doing consultations for AstroVed. To answer Sucharita's question, yes, Radha is a graduate of the certification program. She's a fully certified and empowered astrologer by Dr. Pillai from graduating in that program. And we have several other people in the West now who have that empowerment, some of whom are doing readings, some of whom are not. But I think at the moment I'm the only one doing the consultations through AstroVed. Like I said, hopefully someday that will change. So, Sucharita, should I open it to questions, or not quite sure?
Yeah, that would be great. I love the five different, or the five main things to know about your chart, and how the chart is something that we can look at from time to time. So, say for example, I'm coming to you for the first time, and I have some big issue in my life. Would you start reading it and saying, okay, well, let's just look at your chart and let's look at every house? Or do you just go into that issue? Do you have the ability to go in? Say, for example, I have a litigation. Right. And how would you how would you work with me?
And so I would, so if some, then this does happen. I have people that do come to me, they're dealing with a serious court case, and I might ask them to give me a little bit of background about the case so I know what topic the case is about. So mm-hmm. I can look at that area of the chart. I can also look at the sixth house, which has a lot to do with litigation. I can look at Mars, which is ruled by Maruga, who has a lot to do with litigation. I can look at Jupiter. I can look at Saturn. So I'll look at different planets to see what mm-hmm. could be triggering this particular case, and to give them some suggestions for remedies. So if they're coming with a really hot, you know, pressing problem, we may go into that hot pressing problem. Mm-hmm. And it can depend as well if they're booking a half hour reading or an hour reading. If it's a half hour reading and they're coming with a hot question, then we may only have time to focus on the hot question. If they're booking an hour reading, then I might be able to talk to them more about some of the other aspects of their chart as well. So different people, you know, want to book a different amount of time, and different people are coming with different things that they're wanting to know about. So again, I try very much to tailor it to what each particular client is wanting to get out of the consultation.
Great. And so do you use those?
At the beginning, I usually, if they're okay with it, I will do some chanting to Ganesha, because Ganesha on one level is considered like Lord of all the planets. He's like able to control all of them. So you will find considered a patron of astrology. So you usually will see him like in the cover or in the front piece of astrology books, and most astrologers will invoke him at the beginning of a reading to clear all the obstacles for the consultation. And then I do also just a very short little prayer to Dr. Pillai, because that's where the empowerment that I'm, you know, working with to do the consultations come from. And in addition to looking at the chart, the other thing I'm looking at is, what does Dr. Pillai want this person to get out of this reading right now? And that very much also helps me to focus on what the planets have to say to me at the moment. Because astrology is like, it's like a big ocean. Your chart is a big ocean. And you could talk lots and lots and lots about a chart, but a person, nobody wants to swallow a whole ocean of water at once. Nobody needs that much.
Oh my God.
You don't want to drown people with too much information, right? So
right.
You want to, you know, somebody comes to you for a glass of water, they only want a glass of water. So you want to make sure that you're giving them the right amount and the right information that they need for that particular moment in time. So between Ganesha and Dr. Pillai, those are two, you know, energies that I'm very much working with actively to help guide me on what to say to people.
Oh, that's great. And so do you use the 5-point system, like the rising sign and the sun and the moon, or do you just go diving into the problem planets?
If I have time to cover the 5 points, I will try to introduce that to someone if they've never had their chart looked at before, because I think it's a nice kind of skeleton or a nice introduction for them to have to start to build with a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
With some of the programs that I have done sessions for people, for Dr. Pillai, for example, for Guru Purnima, if people sign up by May 31st, they're going to get a 15-minute astrology session, and that's going to be with me. And Dr. Pillai has said, in those 15 minutes, there are 3 topics I need to talk to them about. So I'll have basically 5 minutes per topic. 5 minutes to talk a little bit about health, 5 minutes to talk about money and finance, and 5 minutes to talk about love and relationship. So in that, it's going to be just very targeted, like a little 5-minute download about the planets or houses involved with that topic, or what I see for them with that topic, like positives or potential issues, you know, from the planets. And then for that one, I'm supposed to be suggesting do-it-yourself remedies for all of them, not suggesting things for them to purchase further, because they're already doing Guru Purnima, which is a, you know, it's a 4-day retreat, and that's going to be a little bit pricey for them already, but he wants me to give them do-it-yourself suggestions in each of those three topics. So that's going to be like
like mantras?
Oops. Yeah, it could be mantras or it could be colors or, you know, depending on what I see and what, you know, what the topic is, then I'll give them suggestions that are, but could be, you know, various things associated with those topics as to help them to make friends with the planets that are impacting those topics for them. And
at this point in time or at all the time?
Well, at this particular point in time, and then, you know, some people will come back for sessions later down the road, or these people might come for a more in-depth session later to get more information. There are some clients that want to have a session every 6 months, or they want to touch base once a year, or they come to me whenever they're having a pressing problem. So some people will come to an astrologer more than once. Some people will not come to an astrologer very often, and that's okay too. Like maybe they're not having such a problem.
Yeah, exactly. They don't need to come to the doctor astrologer.
they're not terribly interested in that. So it's just, you know, people feel drawn to it, or people will come to it if they're having a problem and they're looking for some sort of a relief, is usually what it is. Or they're looking for how to make something easier to manifest, how to make something more positive. Like maybe they have something, like maybe it's an artist and they're doing records and they're selling music, but they want to know how to like take their career to the next level. Like, you know, like how do I get to the next level? You know, they're wanting to get some support from the planets for that. So it's not like they're in pain. They're doing well, but they want to know how to get to the next level. What could be things that will help them with that? So those are sometimes considerations that people will come with that, like that. But so people that sign up for Guru Purnima, if they sign up by May 31st, they're going to get the Guru Purnima preparation package. And one of those things in there will be a 15-minute consultation, and that will be done by me.
Okay.
All the instructions are to make it super focused. So basically, they're probably going to need to just listen or record it and take notes, because there won't be too much time for questions with only 15 minutes. With other readings that I'm doing, like for the Live Astrologer Consult, I try very hard to let the client have some chance to talk and to ask their questions and to get clarifications on any point that they need. So it's a bit interactive as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So maybe we will pause just for a minute and see if anyone wants to ask a question, share an experience. Maybe you've had a consultation with Vali. All you need to do is press star 6.
Hi, this is Jermaine.
Hi, Jermaine.
Hi. I just wanted to find out.
Hi, Jermaine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. I would like to know how much your astrology readings cost and how long.
So I do them through AstroVed. The URL is www.astroved.com/LAC. Stands for Live Astrologer Consultation. And AstroVed charges $54 for a half-hour reading, and AstroVed charges $108 for a one-hour reading. And I do the sessions or consultations on the U.S. dollar version of AstroVed only. So if someone is in India, or if they're in Singapore or Malaysia, then they're on the INR or the MYR version of the site, and then they will only have access to the Indian astrologers. I do mine through the USD version.
Okay. How long does it take to get one?
How long does it take to get one?
Like if I go on there to order one, do I have to look for a time or like, you know, how?
Yeah, if you go online and to order one, if you go to the www.astroved.com/LAC and you're on the US dollar version of the site, then there'll be like my picture and my name, Vali Wells, and you click on that, and then it will show my current open slots for like the coming week or the coming next couple of days. Now, if you want a time and the slots I have aren't open, in my profile, it says, just email me at volley@lifecenter.com and say, I'd like to have a session with you. None of the slots you have are convenient for me. You know, this is the time zone I'm in. This is the day that would work for me. Like, you know, Thursday nights, I'm in the Eastern, you know, daylight savings right now. And I could do any time on Thursdays, like between 9 and 11 in the evening. And then I'll look at if that works for me or not. Now, once you and I agree on a mutually convenient time, I open a slot on my schedule for that. So then you can go out and book and pay for it. And then when you book and pay for it, both of us get a confirmation email so that we both know that that appointment has been scheduled. And then I usually will do them over Skype if people have Skype. If I have to call them on their phone, I will do that. But usually they're often done through Skype. And it's done online, that kind of way. I try to record them from my side, but sometimes the recording fails, so people are always welcome to record it from their side and also welcome to take notes as well.
Terrific.
Okay.
So, like, if you started, like, with a half-hour reading and you needed more, then you could do another one, like, a couple weeks or whatever, right?
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes people will book them, like maybe someone wants me to look at the chart of their daughter or their son or, uh-huh. you know, someone that they're thinking about being in a relationship with. You know, uh-huh. if you have permission to look at someone else's chart, then you can put that information into the scheduler for what birth chart you want to have looked at if it's not your own chart.
Okay. Terrific. Look forward to having a reading with you for sure.
Thank you.
Exciting.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for the having her, Sucharita, and making it more. You know, sometimes you need to take some action, but you need to know what to do, where to go, that kind of thing. So thank you for the information. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dr. Plagg definitely wants us all to start to learn about our own charts. That's very important to him, that we start to work with the planets just through our own chart as a starting place.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we have a chart of ours, it doesn't really matter because you're going to do one anyway, correct?
I will cast the chart using the settings that AstroVet has. In astrology, there's a lot of different ways to do certain calculations, and Dr. Pillai has given recommendations for certain calculations, so I just follow how Dr. Pillai has asked AstroVet to do them. That's how I will cast the chart. We'll be using software. I will do it that way.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So to me, Dr. Pillai is the secret sauce. He's how everything works. I follow his lead with astrology. So one of the things that he told us the day that he did the class at Mina's house that I was really excited by was he said part of his mission in this incarnation is to change the job description of the planets, which I thought was really a cool thing to hear. And I thought, wow, and we get to have a front row seat watching that happen. That is really interesting. So I feel he's going to be helping to make the planets more positive towards us and to help it become easier for us to be friends with them. And they all have a positive side. They all have very positive blessings that they can give us when we make friends with them. So
I'm looking at these times, and they're all like in the morning, our morning, like 4:30 to 5 a.m., 6:30 to 7.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
Basically, we do have to connect with you to get a later time, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the question.
I'm here in the United States, so when I looked you up, and I've got your times here, but they're like 4 a.m. in the morning, 5:30 a.m. in the morning.
Because right now I'm in South Africa. So some of my times are based off of that. Now, if you need a time for your area that's different than what the slots are that are open, just email me and I can make myself available at a time that works for you.
Okay, and that would be Vali at
V-A-L-L-I at PalaiCenter.com.
Okay, great. Thank you. Are you going to be back somewhere else? You're in Africa for just a short time, or is that where you live?
No, I'm visiting for a while here, and then I may be visiting another country after I'm here. So I'm not quite sure when I'm coming back to the United States. I feel a little bit like I'm having a gap year in the middle of my life.
Okay.
You know, maybe getting a little bit of rest for the next set of
what
chapters.
What time is it in Africa right now?
Right now it's 6:30 p.m.
Oh,
where I am in Africa. In the time zone I'm in, it's 6:30 p.m. I mean, Africa is a big continent. It has more than one time zone, just like U.S. has more than one time zone.
Okay. Okay, so like if, for instance, I needed like a 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, that's going to be more like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock your time, so that actually might be doable. Is that correct?
Yeah, it should be doable. I've actually been able to do a lot of consultations from this location covering both North America and also Europe. It's been a lot easier to do both of those continents from this location.
Okay.
That's
terrific.
Interesting.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Mars, because Mars is actually coming closer to the Earth plane than he's going to be all year this month. He'll be the closest to Earth that he is this year on May 30th. So he's retrograde right now. He's in Scorpio, which is a sign that he rules. He's a planet that's a warrior energy, but also a healer energy as well. He has both of those qualities, and he's going to be pressing in on us, you know, visiting into the Earth plane aura a little bit more closely. He's coming in. He'll be at his closest point on May 30th. And he's in the star of Anuradha, which is a star that is actually Lakshmi's birth star, according to Dr. Pillai. And Anuradha is a star associated with friendship, and it's associated with prosperity. And it's a star that's ruled by Saturn. And the deity associated with this star is Mitra, which is a form of the sun. And typically, the sun and Saturn are thought to not get along, but they have this very interesting place of commonality with Anuradha, which is Saturn is ruling this star, and the sun, in the form of Mitra, is also involved with this star. And Mitra is the form of the sun that has to do with universal friendship. The sun shines the same amount of sunlight on everyone. Whether you're a king or a beggar or a crook or a saint, you step outside your house, everybody gets the same amount of sunlight. So the sun is a great teacher of universal tolerance. And this particular form of the sun, Mitra, is associated with this friendship, this very flowing friendship energy. So Mars is in this star of friendship, and this is an interesting thing to think about, because Mars is a warrior, but there is also this healing side of Mars as well. So this may be an opportunity for us to look at our friendships, our old friendships, our new friendships, look at perhaps healing them, look at perhaps you know, sticking up for ourselves in some of our friendships. Mars is the courage to stick up for your convictions, the courage to take action on the things that you believe in. But this is an energy that will be, you know, a little bit more active for us, just because Mars is coming in closer to, you know, the Earth's orbit than he is at other times during the year. So that was one planet that I wanted to give a little, you know, shout out to in this particular session today, and to say that even though the Sun and Saturn are thought to not get along, in this particular star there's a juncture where they are working together with a common agenda in the area of friendship, which I think is fascinating.
So, Vali, what are some tips for people to get friendly with Mars, or to get the best benefits from Mars?
So Mars rules Tuesday. Dr. Ply has suggested wearing red on Tuesday to help bring in more of the success energy of Mars. Mars is a very important energy for success, because usually we have to take actions on things to be successful. A very simple mantra for Mars is Om Mangalaya Namaha. Mars has a reddish color. If you look up in the sky, he might look like a red coal. He'll be in the constellation Scorpio. So if you can find Scorpio and then you see a reddish energy in that area, that's going to be Mars star, Mars planet, excuse me. Mars likes it when we help people that are either involved in the protective services fields, like police officers, firefighters, people who are helping to take care of our security in some way. He also likes it when we're helping people who are involved in the healing arts, like doctors, nurses, those who work in hospitals and clinics. So one thing we can do is just pray for the welfare of those people that are serving us in those ways, to pray for the, you know, safety of the police officers, the firefighters, the military, the people that take care of us, and to pray for the people that are, you know, working in the healing arts areas as well. That's something that we can do that helps us to be closer to Mars. What else? We can work with the Vel, that Vel meditation that we did, because the Vel is associated with Maruga, and Maruga rules Mars. So anything that we're doing with Maruga also helps us to become more aligned with Mars. What else?
You said something.
Go ahead.
You said something about the Mars being a warrior. Now, we don't want to go out there fighting, you know, but what you said is he could be like a spiritual warrior.
No, the warrior of
that.
A warrior of light.
A warrior of light.
Uh-huh. A warrior of light. I think that that is the aspect of Mars that we want to think about, a warrior of light. Dr. Mm-hmm. Ply has recommended martial arts for some people for physical activity. Our word martial in martial art actually refers to Mars. It refers to that energy. But this ability to defend ourselves, the ability to protect ourselves, these are things that are related to Mars. We can ask Mars to give us protection and to help us to become, you know, to have more common sense with how we live our lives, to be protective and safe, and to help us to, you know, walk on the right side of the street, or to not go down the street where there's going to be a problem. We could carry a Vel in our car or in our wallet to help with protecting, you know, some of our physical plane possessions as well. But the idea of being a warrior of light, that we're standing kind of as an army for Babaji, that we're being, you know, helping to spread the light on the planet, that could be an image that might work for some people. But Dr. Ply said, you know, to be successful, you have to be a warrior. But he's meaning it as a warrior of light. We have to be able to, you know, stick up against the dark forces of lethargy or stupidity or ignorance, that we have to kind of fight against those things. So Mars helps us with those kind of daily battles that we're facing. Mars helps us with willpower, you know, the willpower to have self-control. Maybe to sometimes, as Suchiruti was saying, to maybe hold our tongue and not say something if it's going to be hurtful for someone else. Mars could help us with that, to have that self-control, that willpower, to have that. He helps with willpower very much. Helps us with courage to face our fears. We need to be a warrior at times to face our own fears and to look at them and maybe laugh at them or help dissolve them. Mars can help us with that. Those are all aspects of Mars. But there's also very much a healing side of Mars. And many times if I'm doing a consultation for a doctor or a nurse, I will find that usually they have a good prominent Mars in their chart in some way, that they're getting support from Mars for the healing arts.
That's great. Well, you're going to invite Radha if she's still there. Did you want to ask her a question?
Radha, did you want to talk a little bit about anything astrology related for the week? I know that you usually have a prepared set of things that you talk to people about. I don't know if she's on the line.
Oh, I don't know. Radha, are you there? Maybe not.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, Folly and Sucharita. I really enjoyed hearing your talk, Folly. That was really helpful. And I don't have anything to add. I just, you know, I talked last week about the month ahead, and I always enjoy hearing you talk because it just inspires me more to be part of that army of light you were talking about.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, you definitely are. You're doing good. You're doing really good work with astrology with this particular Sundays with Sucharita program. I'm so proud of you for doing that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're happy to have her, and thanks for all the guiding and training and support that you've given each other. It's fabulous.
Well,
and it's great to have you both here because you know, like you were saying, Bali, if we look at what the planets are doing in the sky, they're not just, these objects or celestial objects in the sky or balls up there in the sky. And some of us, we just look up and go, I don't know nothing about astrology or astronomy. So that, how do I relate to that? So when you're talking about, taking a look at it, we can go on the internet because also Mars, doesn't that relate to the internet, like computer technology in some way or no?
I think Mercury has more to do with computers and communication and the internet than Mars does. Mars, okay. Well, actually, Mars has a lot to do with things of the Earth like gold and property. Real estate is related to Mars. And this is because in one of the legends or mythologies, his mother is considered to be Bhumi, the earth goddess. And so his name Mangala, it means auspicious, and he rules many auspicious things related to the earth. So he's also very helpful for anything involving property, like if you're looking for a new home or new office space, working with Mars and Maruga is very helpful for that. And he also has some connections with gold and other precious metals of the earth because of his connection to the earth goddess Bhumi.
Ah. Now, for everyone, Mars, as you said, is transiting Scorpio, or it's in Scorpio. Is that correct?
Right. That's where it is right now in the sky. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that sign Scorpio and how it's going to impact us so that we can navigate accordingly?
So Scorpio is actually, it's represented by a scorpion. And a scorpion is a creature that maybe comes out more at night in most places where he lives. So Scorpio is considered to do more with some of the hidden side of life. So it's actually considered to be the most occult of all of the signs. The occult has to do with the hidden or the invisible side of life. And Scorpio in just the natural zodiac is considered to be a house of change and transformation. So this can be a good time to work with mantras. Mantras are, an occult energy. You don't see a sound, and yet the sound has an effect. So the mantras will be especially powerful during this time. You could be working more and more with mantras, either speaking them or listening to them or writing them. Whatever way you want to interact with mantras, you could be more proactive with that during this particular time. Mars rules the sign that he's in, so he's very comfortable to be there. And he's retrograde, so he's extra strong during this particular time. Now, when a planet is extra strong, when they're retrograde, if you think of, say, like a garden hose, if a garden hose has a little hole in it and you pour water in it, there'll be a little bit of leak coming out of the hose. But if you turn the faucet on the hose full force, then that leak is kind of explosive and might even, you know, get you wet, you know, because it's coming through the leak so strong. So when a planet is retrograde and it's extra strong, sometimes it's revealing to us places where maybe we have holes in the areas that that planet is connected to. So with Mars, a place where we might have a hole is if we have too much, you know, conviction in our opinions, you know, we could get angry or we could get frustrated or, you know, some of the challenging side of Mars. So during this time, we might have that revealed to us, places where people might experience us as hostile, even though we're not intending to be that way. So we may need to listen to feedback or to look at, are there places where we have holes? And this could be holes in areas of protection. It could be holes in the area of our health. To look at those areas, Mars might be pointing some of that out to us while he's in this retrograde phase. And but mostly I feel he's positive to be in Scorpio because it's a sign he rules, and he's very comfortable to be there. And so I would say that he could also just be showing you some hidden things about life or some things that have been hidden to you about your friendships, you know, to look a little bit deeper about that. And you could work, again, with prayers and mantras and any of the occult tools like the bell or yantras or those types of things. All of those things are very much supported with the occult energy that Mars is empowering during this time that he's visiting Scorpio.
So that's really helpful, Lolly. Is there any other questions from members?
Sally?
Yes.
Jermaine again. You know, I'm looking at my calendar and I was trying to pick out a time, and what happened is this week is very busy for me, but it's unusual that I have this whole afternoon available. I don't know if that's too quick to have a reading or if you're available. Is that a possibility?
You mean today?
Yeah.
Yeah, my evening here is free. So let, you know, send me an email and let me know what times you have open. Now the scheduler closes out like a few hours beforehand, you know, so that people can't like book a reading and then, you know, I have to like do it in the next minute. But I can try to open some slots for me tonight, and you book them and we both get the confirmation email, then we can go ahead with that. Yeah.
Okay, because what I'm looking at is either a 1 o'clock or 2, or the latest would be 3 o'clock. Which is Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
I'll send you an email right now and
okay.
We'll see
okay.
what can happen. Okay. I'm ready
sure.
to do it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Let us know how it goes, Jermaine.
I will.
Yeah, right.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who are excited. I'm excited. I'm going to sign up for one too, Wally.
I love your
readings because they're in depth, but they're to the point, they're on point, and also you bring a lot of laughter and a lot of you know, maybe you have that, I don't know if you have a Scorpio that, or if you have a planet in Scorpio that helps you to bring in a lot of light and a lot of courage and help to convey that to others that it's okay. You know, if we do have challenges, that's okay. There is a way. There is a way out. And that's what I love about Dr. Ply, because he gives us these spiritual tools and he gives us people like yourself to guide us, to help us to understand how to use these spiritual tools.
That's really, to me, the really interesting thing about Vedic astrology is the remedies. And the idea that, to me, it's just really important that every consultation should be leaving the client feeling more hopeful than when they started. I think that's really, really important, because that's the beauty of Vedic astrology, is even though we all have problems, there are ways to work with them and ways to make things become better. And it's very practical, the wisdom of this particular science. Mars is exalted in Capricorn, and I have exalted Mars. And Capricorn is symbolized by the head of a deer and the body of a crocodile. So when I came to Africa, I was very keen to be able to see crocodiles. And we did spend some time in Kruger Park going on drives, you know, around the park looking at the animals in their natural habitat. And in the early morning, the crocodiles would be sitting on the banks of the river, and they would be pointing towards the sun, and they would have their mouth open really wide. And I'm like, are they expecting a bird to fly in? I mean, like, what's going on here? and it wasn't like they were, like, having a yawn or something. I mean, they were just sitting there facing the sun with their mouth open. And I said, what's going on? And there's even a pose in yoga, you know, the crocodile pose that, you know, when you're resting. And I was like, what is this all about? So the crocodiles, are their mouth open towards the sun, because they're letting the sun energy in. They're like kind of like a solar charging and taking the heat of the sun into their body. It's a way for them to regulate their temperature, because they spend a lot of time in the water, which is cold. And then they have to take, they don't, there's their what do you call it? Their covering, their, what do you call the crocodile hide? Their hide is so tough that it really doesn't let in the warmth of the sun. They're not going to just take it in through their skin. So they actually open their mouths to let the sun energy in. But to me, it looked like they were all solar charging. And I was just fascinated by that. I don't know why, but that really was fascinating to me, to see that with the crocodiles, to see that happening with them.
So your Mars is exalted in Capricorn, and you're speaking about the crocodiles. Now, how does that relate to you being an astrologer?
Well, my Mars and Venus and Rahu are all sitting in my eighth house in Capricorn. And one night, Ernst Wilhelm said, well, really, to become an astrologer, you really should have something going on with the eighth house. He just said it very casually. So, of course, I, you know, whipped out my chart to see, what eighth house, what do I have going on? I went, oh, I have three planets in the eighth house. There might be hope for me. So often, eighth house is associated with change and with transformation. And the sciences of change, astrology is the science of changes in time, and Vastu is the science of changes in space. And Scorpio is the natural eighth house of the zodiac. If you look at, you know, the sun coming into Aries, and that's like the start of the new year, and it's the natural first house of the zodiac. So the Mars in Scorpio right now, Mars is in the natural house of change and transformation, and is actually perhaps prompting us to talk a little bit about astrology, the science of changes in time. He's giving us support for hearing about that and considering that perhaps on a deeper level right now.
Oh, yeah, and like you said, everyone will benefit from knowing about what these planets are doing, because they're not, they are part of us, a part of our psyche. Or can you explain a little bit more about that?
Well, the planets, they're not just out there in space, but they're also inside our inner space. And we are all these planets. You know, we're, you know, ultimately one with everything. But these planets are, they're not just objects in space. They're all associated with a divine archetype or a divine being. And some people are able to have dreams about those beings, or to hear those beings speak, or to receive, you know, information from those beings. And other people get to a point where they experience the planets inwardly inside of them. Some people become aware of the changes of the hours during the day, what planet is becoming active, because they are so sensitive to those different energies. But the planets are all something that can give us information about ourselves, give us information about the world around us. And this is a very important part of Dr. Pillai's mission. For example, you know, when he said, I'm here to change the job description of the planets, you know, he's kind of like redoing the programming of the universe, you know, because this wasn't set up in kind of a weird way, like the whole way that Brahma set the universe up, it's not really a very great design. Like, if I was designing a universe, I would never let it be that people could get into as much karmic problem as they can here. You know, it's like a really bad game, you know, that you can't just hit the reset button and, you know, start over fresh. So when he says he's changing the job description, to me it's like he's turning the place into a place with more light, that we're going to receive more of the higher aspects of these divine beings, more of their positive blessings, and then that would enable the earth to become such a place of love that then from earth we're radiating love out into the universe instead of all the, you know, kind of stupid stuff that we're radiating out, because we impact the universe too. And it's important for our planet to become more of a planet of light and to be sending that out into the universe. And for us to do that, you know, there have to be some big changes happening here. And that's part of what Dr. Pillai's mission is to be doing with us. I mean, being here in Africa, looking at some of the problems here, looking at how stupid some of the problems are, and Dr. Pillai has this saying, you know, blame it on the brain. And coming to Africa, I am really experiencing that truth of that on a deeper and deeper level, and realizing that our brains have to become better in order for us to solve the issues here on this planet. And we solve these issues with help from the other planets and with help from rewiring our brain, like the meditation that Citrita did at the beginning of enlivening the brain with light and allowing the light from Dr. Pillai's third eye to come into our third eye and spinning the mantras in our brain, like literally making our brains work better, is really important. And these things are just all connected, the planets and the brain and making this world become a better place. So to me, it's all very exciting.
Yeah, that's great. And you said something about the planets being in the sky. Now, do the planets, they vibrate at a certain frequency or energy of light, isn't it?
Yeah,
and
they're
then
all...
Go ahead.
They're all sending a vibration here onto the Earth plane. And based off of our chart, we're more open to some of those planetary vibrations at different times. We're more sensitive to them. Like if someone is, you know, maybe in a Saturn period or they're in their Sade Sate period, they're experiencing more of the energies from Saturn during that particular time. They're more being influenced by that. Other people may be in a period where they're being more influenced by the sun or by Venus or by some other planet. And it's just helpful to become aware of those shifts and those changes. Dr. Pillai, when I first met him, he had really long hair and a really long beard. And then he had a shift, and one of the influencing planets on him suddenly was Venus. And as soon as it became Venus, he went out and got a haircut and he cut his beard. And he started wearing suits and looking a whole lot more, you know, GQ. You know, and he was like, what happened? And then he realized, oh, it was Venus. Venus made me do all of that, because Venus is the planet of beauty and fashion and clothes and, you know, hairstyles and all that type of thing. And before, he had been more under an influence of Ketu. And Ketu is very indifferent and very, you know, not caring about those types of things. And now he'll be coming out of Venus soon, and he'll be entering a period of the sun, and that will bring out some very different energies in him as well. So, you know, those are very real things that are impacting all of us.
Right. And then the planets, they also impact different parts of our body too, right?
They do impact different parts of our body. I'm not necessarily trained in medical astrology. There's a couple of the astrologers in India that are very, very learned in medical astrology. And so I will sometimes do a sidebar consult with them if I need a little bit of help with, you know, this area that I'm not as trained in. But yeah, but there's a lot, there's There's financial astrology, there's medical astrology, all of the areas of life, there's certain specialty things you can learn in astrology, that have revelations from different saints and sages about impacts of different things.
Yeah, I was just thinking more in general, say, for example, like, the sign of Aries rules the head. You can have,
all of the zodiac signs have a body part that's associated with them. So sometimes if a planet is transiting through that particular sign and it's a difficult planet for somebody, maybe it's triggering headaches for them, like if it was going through Aries or something like that. Yeah, it could be. Triggering things like that for people.
And then does it affect the planet too that rules that zodiac sign?
Certain planets have impact on different parts of the body. Like for example, Jupiter brings increase, and usually increase is very good and very benevolent. However, he happens to rule fat, and increasing fat is not good for a lot of people. So sometimes transits of Jupiter for certain people into different houses can make it harder for them to lose weight or make it easier for them to actually gain weight. That type of thing can get triggered by planets.
Is Saturn the opposite of that, right? Or no?
Saturn is a more... he's portrayed as being very thin. He has more of a severe type of energy. So he would be more like an energy of fasting or asceticism, of discipline, patience, loyalty, perseverance, endurance. Those are qualities associated with Saturn. And also compassion. Any of the hardships that he brings to us are to help open our hearts so that when we see other people in pain, we go, yeah, I remember pain sucks. I want to help that person because I remember how much I didn't like it when I was in pain. So his job is to help open us so that we become compassionate towards the sufferings of others and so that we become motivated to help relieve suffering in other people. He's teaching us a lot about selfless service. That's one of his big teachings that he's here to help us with. And the more we get with his program, the easier time we have with him when we're under his influence.
I think we've talked about all the major... We haven't talked about Rahu yet. You want to go for it? To wrap it up.
You want to hear about Rahu? Rahu is the demon that got cut in half. He was a demon that had an original idea. He knew there was going to be a party in heaven where they were going to be serving Niyamrita, the drink of immortality. So he wanted to crash the party, and he wanted to have the drink. So he disguised himself and snuck in, and he kind of got over by the punch bowl, so to speak. And the sun and the moon realized, hey, this guy doesn't really belong here, and so they ratted him out to Vishnu. And Vishnu threw his Sudarshana discus across the room, but it cut him in half, but it was too late because he'd already swallowed the drink of immortality. So now they decided, okay, he's immortal, we'll turn him into a planet. And the top half of him is still called Rahu, but the top half of him has no stomach. So on the difficult aspect of Rahu, he's a being with no stomach, and he can take us into places of obsession or never feeling satisfied. The most negative aspect of him can take people into things of like addiction, like drinking or gambling or those types of things where they're just not satisfied and they never get enough. But on the positive side of him, when you are aspecting his positive side, he was the original think outside the box guy. So he helps with original thinking. He helps with creating new inventions. He helps with research. And he very much helps us to make friends with new technology. So he's actually a very important planet in our age, given the amount of technical new development that's happening all the time. So we can ask Rahu to help us make friends with the technology that's, going to be coming at us 10 years from now, to help us to be ready for it, to help us to make friends with it, to make the most of technology, to be positive in our interaction with technology. He can help us with all that.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad you said that, because there was someone on the call, the UT call, the other day saying, I can't be looking at the computer all day long. And I'm going, well, get used to it, because we're not going to be sounding like our great grandmothers. Oh, you know, all this modern technology, this is it, right? So we've got to. We have no choice. Just get at it. So with Rahu, where it's sitting now, and Leo, how would we see that in the world, that influence?
Okay, Rahu's sitting in Leo. He's sitting in Leo would be the fifth house?
Yeah, natural fifth house.
Natural fifth house. Natural fifth house has a lot to do with God, projects, creativity, children. And one of the ways I think we see it is that we're having these spiritual discussions using the technology, using Skype or using, the voice dialer. Dr. Pillai is using a lot of technology right now with the 30 days of the subconscious brain training that he's doing.
Is that through Facebook or is that through Pillai Center?
I think they're live through Facebook, but then I think they're going onto the blog up at Pillai Center. There's a blog where they're being posted every day.
So that's the 30 days, 3 minutes meditation or technique.
Yeah, I think they're doing like day 6 today, and they'll post that later. But yeah, there's 5 days of posts that are up on the blog right now.
That's awesome.
And they have both the video and they have the full transcript already transcribed, so you can read it as well.
Have you been following it?
I have been. He's giving different little meditation techniques and working with the third eye and tapping the third eye and just instantly raising your awareness to there. And of course, he's empowering that so that he's making, you know, shifts in people very quickly if they're following his directions. So he's giving us a kind of supercharged experience to have for us and to get ready for Guru Purnima. So he's doing a lot to share teachings to a wide audience and to have it be available for free for everyone is a great gift.
Yeah, it's great. I love the tapping one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a very physical thing, because usually we are in meditation, we visualize things, we feel, you know, energy moving or see images or light, or we perceive that anyways internally. But when you add the physical tapping, it really does something to the whole memory, you know. So it's great. And it's only 3 minutes. So, so I'm looking forward to day 6. So, I don't know. Is there any other? Is everybody still here? Does anyone have any questions? We're just going back and forth, Bali.
I'm not sure if we're. It's Jermaine again.
Jermaine!
When I go on.
Did you schedule your reading?
Yeah, I can't wait to get my reading. So, astrobay.com, LAC. You have a time there now for 10 or 10:30. Is that Eastern Standard Time for me, or what is the
time? That's your
time.
That's your time. That would be your time. The time that you're seeing is based off of where your computer is.
Okay, great. And so I sent my email, so after you get off this call, you're going to put some other times in there for me to choose. Is that right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I know very little about my chart, okay? I do know certain aspects of it. I know I have 3 exalted planets. I know my sun sign's in Aries, but I don't really know how to use it for my daily life. So I'm really looking forward to this call, and I'm really grateful you had this call today, because it makes it so much more practical and usable, and it tells people exactly where they can go for this reading. So I'm really grateful that you're there today. So
thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Is there someone else? I think someone else is there.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, yes. I had a question. I'm familiar with my chart in Western astrology, and I wonder, with the Vedic astrology, do you use the same ephemeris, and how, can you tell us a little how different it is?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
I said I'm aware of my chart in Western astrology, and I wondered in Vedic astrology if you use the same ephemeris, how different is it from Western astrology? Could you give us a little insight?
I'm not trained in Western astrology, so I don't try to do comparisons between the two because I really am not trained in Western astrology. All my training has been Vedic, and what I can tell you is that we're working with a sidereal view into the sky, and I'm following the timings and information that Dr. Pillai has recommended for AstroVed, and that's what I know how to share.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Oh, someone else there? We've had a full couple of hours and then some. So it is, maybe it's time to wrap up, Vali, because I know that you could go on and on. Maybe we'll have you come again.
Okay.
So it's been a pleasure. It's been so wonderful to have you here and at short notice. And, you know, I didn't have any questions prepared, and you can just talk about anything at any time. And it's been so helpful to the members, listeners as well, who will be listening to the recording later on. So if you're interested in having an astrology consultation with Vali, Vali, can you say it again, how to contact you?
My email is Vali, V-A-L-L-I, that's V as in Victor, A-L-L-I, at PillaiCenter.com. And let's see,
they
URL
can also
is,
go to AstroVed, right? Yeah.
Right, the URL is www.astroved.com/LAC.
Yeah, that's great. So is there anything else that you wanted to share, Vali, before we wrap it up?
Just I'm wishing everyone well. Thank you for your time. Thank you for having me on. And
thank you.
For everybody to keep up the good work.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Vali, and I hope that lots of people come to you because you will be able to support them in a way that we're not able to support people here, because you have such a gift and a specialty that is really helpful in with people who are coming to Dr. Pillai to learn about the teachings and how to learn about themselves and to apply all the teachings in their everyday life and to see the improvements. So I really appreciate you coming again, and I hope to have you join us again in the future. And God bless.
Thank you.
All right. So everyone, please have a listen to this conversation on the recorded audio that gets put up on the blog. Or I think Radha and Yagna are going to do a great job and give some insights, the highlights of this call, and you'll get it in the emailer, and it'll be posted to the blog as well with links and things like that that we've talked about. So thanks to everyone for joining. Thank you again, Vali. Thanks to Radha. Thanks to Yagna for their support, ongoing support, and all the members who are just listening and never really join a live call, please continue to do that and share this program with others too, because it is free and it's Dr. Pillai's blessings and grace that, as Vali said, that's what comes through. That's the juice for you to understand why it is you're here and what it is that you need to do with all these teachings and all these services here at Ply Center in Astrovid. So take care, everyone. God bless, and have a fabulous week ahead. Smash some coconuts on the fourth waning moon. It will do you a world of good. Imagine Ganesha as the coconut himself, and it will destroy that obstacle. He's the king of obstacles because he knows what to do with them. And then we have a sixth moon, which is all about Maruga. So use the veil practice, or pour milk on a veil, or water or juice. Okay. And then we'll see you on the eighth waning moon for Kalabhairava for a timeline jump next Sunday.
Yeah.
Take care, everyone, and God bless.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.